I want to share with you this morning a message that God's put on my heart called The Blessing of a Giving Heart. The Blessing of a Giving Heart. I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, and then we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 10, two scriptures this morning, and then we'll pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, the first one. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know, everybody say, that we might know. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And then Matthew 10, verse 8. Matthew 10, verse 8. Jesus speaking to his disciples. And really, I mean, prophetically to all his believers that would come. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received. Freely give. Say that last phrase with me. Freely you have received, freely give. So I want us to think about this morning these two thoughts. To know by the Spirit of God what has been freely given to us. It's thought number one. To know in a deeper way, a more spiritual way, what all has been given to us. The magnitude of what has been given to us by God. To know that in a spiritual way. And secondly, to give that to a hurting world, the hurting world. Freely you have received, freely give. Amen? So we need to know what we have to offer, right, before we can offer it to people. So that's why I love these two verses. They're really a connection there. We know, not in the natural mind, but we know by the Spirit the things that God has given to us from His Word and by the Holy Spirit. But then we've got to be willing to go out. And that requires a little bit of faith. It requires a little bit of getting out of our comfort zone. Somebody say amen. To freely give what we have freely received. So, Father, we ask you for your help with this message today. We pray for your anointing, your strength, Lord. Your ability, Lord, to open our ears. Your ability to help me, Lord, to deliver this clearly. And also, Lord, that we would be changed by the message. We don't want to leave here today saying, oh, well, that was a very thought-provoking sermon, or it made me feel good. We want to be able to go out and do something with it to change the world. Hallelujah. As we leave this parking lot and enter the mission field, hallelujah, we are missionaries. We are ambassadors for Christ. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. So let's start with the beginning. What has God freely given us? Well, that would take months to preach on right there. But just to put it in one phrase, God has given us everything we need for a godly, meaningful life here on this earth, plus eternity besides. All right, I want to say that again. You ought to get excited here. When I say give me an amen, I want you to give me a good amen, all right? He's given us everything we need for life on this earth that is fulfilling, that is godly, that is meaningful. In other words, he's come to give us an abundant life. But then to boot, he gives us eternity besides. God is a giving God, for God so loved the world that he gave. God is a forgiving God. And aren't you glad for that? I wouldn't be here today if God wasn't a forgiving God. He's an amazingly generous God. Somebody say you can never outgive God. You can never outgive God. Romans 8, 31 and 32. I think we have that scripture. Let's look at that one. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And I love this verse. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? He's a giving God. Say it with me. He's a giving God. He's a generous God. He's an amazing God. He's better to me than I've been to myself. We've just celebrated Thanksgiving, but as Pastor Angela said last week, every day is Thanksgiving for the believer. We have been given so much by God. So every day can be Thanksgiving for the Christian, because we reflect on the many things, the many blessings that God has given us, small and great. And I do hope that some of you would do what Pastor Angela suggested. There's a sheet on the back that gives you instructions right next to our little house there that Brother James, where is he? Brother Delbert is here today. He made up that little, thank you for making that little house that you can put your $10,000, $20,000 offering this morning in there for the building fund. But there's a sheet of instructions. This was all unrehearsed, folks. That just came out. But let me ask you, you've written these Psalms of Thanksgiving, and I hope more of you do that. But how often do we think deeply about what God has given us? Do we know the full magnitude of the transaction that happened? It reminds me of a story of a poor man who was a servant to a wealthy landowner, and the man had no children, so he left the entire estate to his servant. But the servant was uneducated, didn't understand anything about banking and all of that, could hardly write his own name. And so he was actually, after the man passed away, he was hungry because he didn't realize he had the whole estate. Finally, someone said, you should go to the bank and find out what he left you. He went to the bank and he said to the man, he says, I understand my person that I worked for, the owner of this property, left me some money. He says, you sure did. He says, can I have $1.50 so I could buy some cereal? He said, sir, he has left you thousands of dollars. He said, I didn't know that. Somebody say hallelujah. We don't understand the riches of God in Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 8:9. I like this as the translation paraphrase. You won't see it on the screen. For you know about have experienced the extravagant grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that although he was infinitely rich, he became poor, so that we, through his poverty, might become truly rich. Jesus poured out his life for us. He gave us the very best of heaven. He doesn't treat us like stepchildren. Somebody say amen. We are heirs of God, and joint heirs. You know what a joint heir? Co-heir means you share half each. A co-heir means you get 50% and you get 50%. But a joint heir means you share everything together. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise God. Do we realize and know deep inside how truly rich we are? And if so, do we live and give knowing that we are blessed to be a blessing? God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He has forgiven our transgressions. He has washed away our sins. He has given us a new beginning. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new. What have we done with that salvation? I'm reminded of that scripture that says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? This salvation is the greatest thing on earth. Somebody say amen. It is the greatest thing on earth. I mean, can you think of anything better than God forgiving our sins, giving us eternal life, loving us with an indescribable love that is deeper than the deepest ocean, that's wider than the sea, that's higher than the highest mountain, and then believing for our good that we can become something with him. Somebody say, with him. God knows that your life plus his life together can be really amazing. Turn to your neighbor and say, my life with God's life can be really amazing. My life with God's life can be really amazing. See, he can change your ordinary life and turn your water into wine. Somebody say, amen. And make your life extraordinary. So there's good news, though. Paul, the apostle, teaches that God has provided a way to help us to understand these riches by the power of the Holy Spirit. He says that we might know these things that have been freely given to us, right? But then if you read right before that text, the same section of the Bible, verses 9 and 10, it says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the hearts of men, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And most of us stop right there when we quote that scripture. But the next sentence says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. So all the things that people are just looking at the natural and they're missing, all the spiritual things, the peace, the joy, the patience, the power, the resources of God that are available to us are known by the Spirit. God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. It's the things that some people miss. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, but we have the advantage because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And the Holy Spirit of God knows what God has given us and is trying to transmit it to us. Jesus in John 16 says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will take from that which is mine and make it known unto you. He will transmit it to you. We are born again by the Holy Spirit. We grow through the Holy Spirit. We understand the riches of Christ by having a spiritual mind, a spiritual heart, a spiritual attitude. Now that is a gift, but it's also something that we have to maintain. See, God gives you a gift of salvation, but then you have to treasure your salvation. And you got to act like Christians. Somebody say amen. Amen. You can't take the gifts of God and then squander them and waste them and say, well, I'm okay because God gave me a gift and he won't take it back. That's called cheap grace. That's called cheap grace. Thinking that, you know, this is all about me, myself, and I. And I think that our generation has missed something in their understanding of repentance and discipline and treasuring our salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation that was given? God, it cost God his son. Can you think of a greater price than that? But we are responsible then to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you with me this morning? God did his part. He gave us the gift of salvation. He wiped the slate clean. But then it's up to us to work with the salvation and let the grace of God be at work in our hearts and receive the grace of God. There's a passage in Hebrews that says, see to it that none of you neglect or miss the grace of God. And thereby a bitter spirit spring up inside of you that will defile many people. Are you getting where I'm coming from this morning? You see, these gifts are free. These gifts are true blessings. Forgiveness of sins, a new mind, the ability to forgive others, the hope that we have in Christ, the meaning that God has given our life, the purpose, the calling of God on my life. These are all gifts to God, from God to us. But there's an interaction between us and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And there's times when we feel like we've fallen flat on our face. And there's something called repentance that we cannot throw out the window. Somebody say amen. You cannot have salvation without repentance. When Jesus came preaching the gospel, in Matthew it says, repent and believe the gospel. This was his first sermon. He began to proclaim to the crowds, repent and believe the gospel. Repenting means I'm sorry for my sins. Repenting means that I understand that there was a price that was paid and I don't keep on acting like a fool. Somebody say amen. God was very patient with me over many years. He's been working. He's still working on me. Because I had this little bit of a wise attitude, you know, like a wise guy attitude. I know most of you think I was perfect, but it's not true. And you know you weren't either. Come on now. Come on now. But you know what? God has convicted me. I remember one time I was working part-time, and I was pastoring in Valley Stream, Long Island. And I had to work part-time because I was in the transition from one church to another. And I was working in service, and I was doing these service calls. And I was supposed to call after each job and report to the my supervisor, you know, how the job went and complete. But the only problem with that is in those days, it was very hard to find a phone booth. There was no cell phones. I know some of you young people can't believe that there actually was a time when there was no cell phones. They had something called a phone booth. And driving through New York, it was almost a miracle if you found one that worked. You know, I'd be driving, say, okay, I got to call in. I got to drive up to a phone booth, go in there, pick up the phone, and the phone comes off the wire with it. Somebody had cut the wire, you know, or they took out the change box. So when I finally did call in, I was given all these excuses and telling me, hey, you know, this is hard. I can't find the phone, blah, blah. And the man who's a Christian knew that I was a pastor. He said, hey, brother, get convicted. How'd you like someone get up in your face like that and slap you upside the head, as they say? But, you know, I never forgot that. That was maybe 25 years ago or more. I never forgot that. God was saying, hey, who do you think you are? If your boss says you got to call in, you got to call in. Wow. You see what I'm getting at this morning? Yeah. Sometimes we think that, well, God forgives me so I can do whatever I want. It's not like that. We are given the truest riches of God, but God's saying to whom much is given, much is required. Yeah. Yeah. To whom much is given, much is required. That means we need to treasure these things. When we're born into God's family by the Holy Spirit, we're given a new life source. And gradually, as we repent and as we pray and as we humbly obey and we soak in the Word, He supernaturally changes us until we become beautiful vessels for His honor and glory. God is making you into a masterpiece. Think about all the wonderful things. I'm just going to give you a quick overview. Some of the things we've been blessed to receive from God. Freedom from guilt and shame. Somebody say amen. Amen. Freedom from guilt and shame. Romans 8, 1 and 2. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set me free from the law of sin and death. I've been connected to a new life source in Christ. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. There's a new principle operating in me. Before, it was like, okay, try to dust yourself off, get up, fail, and then get up again. Get up, fail, get up again. You know, that was going on in my life until I finally got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I realized I had a new life source. I had a new power at work in me. Hallelujah. Freedom from guilt, shame, and God. Number two, supernatural peace with God. We talked a little bit about it today. Jesus said in John 14, peace I leave with you. My own peace. My own peace. In other words, His personal peace He gives to us. Not as the world do I give, but my own peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Number three, He's patient. Aren't you glad God is patient? The kids used to sing a song, you know, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. And He's still working on me. Amen. Even at this advanced age, He's still working on us. But see, this kind of patience that God has towards us, my question is, do we have that towards others? See, you are blessed to be a blessing. Remember the point of this message today. These gifts and that I'm talking about that we receive from God, these riches that we understand by the Holy Spirit, a brand new mind, no more condemnation, purpose for living, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to tell Satan to take a hike. Come on now. Behold, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. These are all the riches of Christ. But we're blessed to be a blessing. So what I'm saying to myself and to this church, let us grow a giving heart. Let us grow an outwardly focused life. Remember the problem with the Grinch? You probably have watched the cartoon on television. The Grinch who stole Christmas. They found out that he was a problem child because he was neglected and he was an orphan or whatever he was. And they found out that he had a small heart. It wasn't that he wanted to be bad, But he was just born with a small heart. But then a miracle happened. And the Grinch grew a big heart. And he gave all the stuff back that he stole. Somebody say amen. Amen. So why can't I grow a big heart? Hallelujah. Why can't you grow a big heart? A heart like God. You know the riches of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the sacrifice he made. Though he was rich, he gave himself for ourselves. He became poor so that we became rich. Patient love. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. This is, by the way, good advice for any relationship. Tap your neighbor and say, this is for you and me. This is good for relationship building. Just think of these words, patient, kind, not jealous. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wrong. This is the love of God. This is what we discover when we have the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. It does not rejoice about injustice, like in other words, ha ha, you got what you deserved. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. What I'm saying to you this morning is not that you, I'm not saying that you don't have this inside of you, but what I'm saying to you is you've been given this because there's a world out there that's starving for this. And maybe even people in your own family are starving for a demonstration of the true love of Christ. I got saved when I was 17 years old because I saw a man who stood up who finally got through to me that God loved me in spite of my stupidity, in spite of my arrogance, in spite of my ignorance, that God really, really, really loved me and wanted me in his life and wanted me in his family. And that's why I got saved, and that's why I'm here today. Number four, comfort from the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. But does it stop there? Somebody say no. It goes on to say, so that, everybody say, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received. You see what I'm getting at this morning? Freely you have received, freely give. You are blessed to be a blessing. Grow a giving heart. The last one is purpose. There are so many more we could talk about. One of the wonderful blessings we have from God is a purposeful life. I didn't know who I was before I was saved. I really didn't. I was trying to copy certain heroes that I had, certain, you know, sports figures, rock and roll figures. I didn't know who I was. But now I found out the greatest hero in my life is Jesus. I have no problem. I always want to be like him. Hallelujah. And the more I'm like him, the better I feel. Hallelujah. God has given me a purpose. John 15, 16. This is the verse God gave me when he told me I was called into the ministry. John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you should go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, he will give to you. We have a work to do, a mission to accomplish. Hallelujah. You know, we sang a song last Wednesday night, Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, please don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I must do. And even though it's humble, Lord, cause my will to crumble. And though the cost be great, I'll work for you. Hallelujah. All this and much more we have received from the gracious hand of God. Amen. The Christmas tree back there is covering the clock, so I'm going to just keep going. There's a few of you looking worried. Don't be worried. Amen. What do we do with all these blessings, Gloria? What do? Give them away. Paul says, let no debt remain outstanding. That talks about natural debts. If you owe, you know, for something, make the payment. Do the best you can. Don't spend more than you take in. Come on now, don't spend. And by the way, for those, as Pastor Angela mentioned, for those who are struggling in this pandemic with finances, God will make a way. I grew up in a family of immigrants. My dad was an immigrant. We didn't know there were times where he didn't have work. He did seasonal work as a house painter. And there were winters where he couldn't work, and we had to borrow money for food. But I can tell you, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Hallelujah. I have a heritage of the faithfulness of God in my family. To God be the glory. To God be. But I owe such a debt of love. Let no debt remain outstanding except, everybody say except, the continuing debt to love one another. That is a debt that I owe to God that I could never repay God, but God says, it's okay, you can't pay me, but pay people. You can never pay Christ for sacrificing his life on the cross. There's no way we could pay for that. But we say the outstanding debt we have is to love people in his name. Go in my name and heal the sick. Go in my name and show some patience to that person you forgave 10 times already. Go in my name and pick up that person who's hopeless. Lift up the countenance of somebody who's really down. Help that person who's even having suicidal thoughts. Be my hands extended. Be my voice. Hallelujah. Comfort the afflicted. Confront those who are lost and tell them there's a way back to God. Hallelujah. Love enough to confront when somebody is out of order. Somebody say amen. Continuing debt of love means I have an outwardly focused life. I'm growing a giving heart. I want to grow a giving heart. I believe God's going to turn somebody's heart inside out today. Maybe your heart has been consumed with your own anxiety, with your own needs, the finances, the problems in my home, these kind of things, relationships. But God says, if you seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, all these other things will be added unto you as well. You put God first. You be a giver, and God will say you'll never want for anything, for it is more blessed to give than to receive. The children sing a song at Christmas, what can I give you, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. What can I give you? I'll give my heart. That's what God wants. Hallelujah. He wants to be right in the center of your heart. Proverbs 11 says, there is one who is free in giving and yet grows richer, who gives freely and then keeps getting, keeps pouring out, and God keeps pouring in. The more you give, the more you receive. But there is one who hoards, who keeps on holding on to what he should give and ends up needing more. The generous soul will prosper. And he who refreshes others will be refreshed himself. And by the way, we're not just talking about money here. It's true that we need to put God first in our giving, our tithes. But we're talking about other things besides money. Some of the most important treasures you can give are not dollars. I want you to say that with me. Some of the most important treasures I can give to somebody are not dollars. Let me give you an example. You could give patience to a hurting and lonely child. You can give your prayers in the middle of the night for someone who you sense is in trouble and God wakes you up. You just gave some treasure back. Somebody say amen. You can give time to volunteer for the cause of Christ. Go feed some homeless people, right, Tommy? Amen. You can give the friendship, gift of friendship to somebody who is lonely. You can give the gift of encouragement to somebody who needs encouragement. Somebody say amen. 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 Just shut that off, guys, because we don't want to be distracted. You can give forgiveness and another chance to someone who has messed up again. See, this is what we have received from the Lord: patience, forgiveness, mercy, a new life, hope for living, a purpose in life. Those are all the things, and there's so much more that we need to give away. Love when someone... God and the people he died to save. And I want to say, just as a side note, we have a lot of giving people in this church. And I know I still need to grow in this message, but I also want to acknowledge the fact that we have a church full of volunteers. This church is remarkable. There are some pastors who, and I've been to many churches over the years, that are literally pleading and begging people to volunteer. But we have wonderful volunteers in this church. Somebody say amen. Amen. We have wonderful teams in this church. Somebody say, go team. We got a lot of good teams in this church. But this is a message that God said, I want you to focus on this. Because Thanksgiving is not over. Thanksgiving every day. It is through the Spirit of God that we begin to discover all the riches that we've been given. And we realize how rich we are. How could we be insecure? Come on now. How could you be insecure? How could you doubt God's love? Look at how much he's given for you. And he wants to give you more. We need to be moved with compassion for the broken people and places in the world. I'm so glad that our gift of giving ministry has given out to Central America. And we have testimonies from India. Pastor Reina, who we support here, one of the missionaries we support, during the pandemic, they've given out thousands and thousands of meals to the people of India. You are supporting that effort. Somebody say amen. Amen. Venezuela, the Lopez family has been for years. We have supported those efforts. We have paid for the shipping. You know, thank God that we can give. It's more blessed to give than to be a receiver all the time, right? I want to close with this morning, and I will look at the time now. Many years ago, we were on the campus of University of Central Florida. My wife and I were campus pastors, and we had a ministry there called Chi Alpha. Matthew knows about it, and he and Rebecca have been there at UCF. The ministry is still going on, and now we support the young lady who took over for us. Charmaine's a sweet Jamaican girl who is taking over and doing a great work. She's been there now for 20-something years, doing a great job. We used to have outreaches there on the campus. They don't allow this anymore, but we would set up a trailer with a stage, a big semi-truck with a stage, sound stage, and we'd have volunteers come. We'd have Salvation come and serve free food, hamburgers, hot dogs. We'd give away thousands and thousands of meals there on University. And then we would preach the gospel, and many people got saved. There was one person who told us that they were walking up the administrative steps, the steps into the administration building, and our outreach was about almost a quarter of a mile away, because that's a huge campus. But the speakers were so loud, they could hear the message. And while they were walking up the steps into the administration building, they were giving the sinner's prayer, and this person stopped on the steps and recited the sinner's prayer on the steps and got saved and told us later on. Somebody give God a praise right now. One of those times, our daughter Lori, our oldest daughter, who helped us, she was part of the outreach there. She got up and sang. She's not the type to be in public. She doesn't like the spotlight at all. She's more of the behind-the-scenes type of person. And many of you know that's okay. You don't have to be in the spotlight. You can be behind the scenes. God needs both kinds of people. And she sang this song we asked her to sing. It's called Not Too Far From Here. And some of the lyrics, I was listening to it last night while preparing this message. And some of the lyrics just grab my heart, and it just goes along so powerfully with this message today. Somebody's down to their last dime. Somebody's running out of time. Not too far from here. Someone's got nowhere else to go. Somebody needs a little hope. Not too far from here. I may not know their name, but I'm praying just the same that you'll use me, Lord, to wipe away a tear. Because somebody is crying not too far from here. Somebody's troubled and confused. Somebody's got nothing left to lose. Not too far from here. Could be right in your own neighborhood. Somebody's forgotten how to trust. Somebody's dying for love. Not too far from here. It may be a stranger's face, but I'm praying for your grace to move in me and take away my fear, because somebody's hurting not too far from here. Let's stand together, shall we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Angel, would you come to the piano? Angel, you can just hold up for a second. This is not planned. How many of you allow me to be led of the Lord? Is that okay? Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, cause my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll live for you, Lord. Amen. Brother Lanre, would you come up? I want you to sit up here for a second. Oh, Jesus, use me. And, oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, cause my will to crumble. Cause my will to crumble. And though the cost be great, and though the cost be great, I'll work for you. Sing it again. Jesus, use me. Oh, Jesus, use me. Lord Jesus, use me. And, oh, Lord, don't refuse. And, oh, Lord, don't refuse. For surely there's a work. For surely there's a work that I do. Hallelujah. And even though it's humble, and even though it's humble, Lord, cause my will. Lord, cause my will to. And though the cost be great, and though the cost be great. We've been singing these two songs together. Come on up, Brother Lanre. And it's a simple song, but I really believe it's from the Lord. He was working here in the building, I guess. Or no, it was one time when he was going through a particularly hard time. And he opened his mouth to ask God questions or to question. And instead, out came this song. For your glory.
Use me, Lord, for your glory.
Use me for your praise.
Use me, Lord, for your praise. Use me, Lord, for
this message meant something to you, if this song means something to you, just lift up your hand and say, God, I want to be a giver. I want to be a person with a giving heart, Lord, a big heart, Lord. I want to be more focused on blessing than being blessed. Hallelujah. I recognize today that I've been given so much more than the rest of the world, oh God. There are people around the world today that can't go to church because it's illegal to go to church. There are people around the world who've been displaced from their homes because radicals have burned down their homes and killed them and threatened them. They're living on the side of the road somewhere. God, make me a blessing. Surely there's a work that I can do. Say that with me. Surely there's a work that I can do. It may have to start right in your own family. Get your own home right first. Somebody say amen. Charity starts at home. Amen. One more time. Oh, use me, Lord, for your glory. Use me for your praise.
Use me, Lord, for your praise. Use me, Lord, for your glory. Use me, Lord.
I am yours.
I am yours.
I am yours, O Lord. Would you come up and close in prayer? We're a little bit, trying to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And many of you know, as Camille prayed in the beginning of this service, she said, the order of this service belongs to Jesus, not us. Amen? He's the senior pastor. Jesus is the senior pastor. He's the chief apostle. He's the chief shepherd. So everything that happens is in his province. So where is Angel? I want you to just come up here. No, just come up here and close in prayer. I know you don't normally do this, but I want you to give the benediction. Amen. Amen. And just oops, you might have to go back there.
You know, a worship leader can also give a benediction. Amen. Is that okay? Amen. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord. Father, there is none like you, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
And we are humbled by your presence this morning, Father. We're reminded of just how much you sacrificed for us, Lord, when you sent your only Son to die a horrible death, so that we might have eternal life.
Yes.
Father, we're reminded of your great love,
yes,
your great compassion,
and that your mercies are new every morning. So we thank you today, Lord.
As we gather in your presence, as the family of God,
as your co-heirs,
we thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice on the cross.
Yes, Lord.
And we know that one day, Lord, we'll be able to do this in person, face to face. And what a day that will be, Lord. We can't wait, Lord. We're like children on Christmas morning, just waiting for your return, Lord. And on that day, Lord, we will finally be home with you, Lord. But until that day, Lord, we're going to keep on fighting.
Amen.
We're going to keep on persevering.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to keep on seeking you, Lord,
yes,
every day.
Yes, God.
From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same.
Yes, Lord.
Not just on Sunday, but 7 days a week, Lord, we're going to pursue you, Lord.
Yes.
Because you have called us your own.
Yes.
And we're forever grateful, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that as we leave this place, Lord, we thank you for the blessing that we received. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to give that blessing
yes.
to someone else.
Yes.
In Jesus' name
yes.
we pray. Come
Amen.
On, church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
God bless you.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Glory to your name.
A Sunday of hope and a Sunday of love. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night. Hallelujah.